song, it reminds me of two things as we think about generations. For some reason, that's been a subject of conversation amongst many recently, our generations. We are, who knows what current generation we have right now, but the current big generation, the millennials, those roughly born between 8 and 82 and 2004. And so the majority in this room are millennials. We have the Generation Xers before that from 1960 to 1982. It's where Ryan falls and my wife falls. And then you have the baby boomers before that, and a few of you fall in that category. And then David's got another category. I don't know where where's David at? He's not even here to get harassed on. But anyway, think about generations. And this week there was a video that was floating around. I saw it in several different places about millennials specifically, and the entitled generation that that we are, and I am in that category, born in 82. And the millennial generation and all the woes that seem to be attached to that particular generation. But beyond the stigma of the millennials, I pray that we be a generation that seek the Lord, that we be a generation that's not defined by anything else other than Christ. And even more than that, as I think about generation, I think about more than our birth years and more than our ages and more from the decades from which we came. But we are a generation of God's people. And one thing I love about North Hills is we are not a very generational church, is that we strive to be a church of God's gathered people regardless of our generations. So let's just be a generation of God's people. As we look at 2017 and think about this year, I pray that we continue to gather, grow, give, and go as God's people. So this morning, we're going to take another little break from Genesis, as we did last week with Christmas. And you know, this is just one of those odd years. I think I heard someone say, and don't fact check me, I don't know. I think it happens, you know, it's happened like 9 times in the past 56 years. It doesn't happen much, you know, where you have Christmas and New Year on the same, you know, just on a Sunday. And so it's a rare occasion, so we're going to take advantage of this rare occasion. Last week, as we looked at Christ and the coming of Christ, and this morning, we're going to take a look at this new year. Because the new year is something that we're all here, right? We all celebrate it. Some of you celebrated the new year last year. Some of you slept right through it. And but however you brought in the new year, eyes open or eyes closed, the new year is here, right? It is January 1st, 2017. For those of you who still write checks, you'll struggle the next several months in writing 17 instead of 16. Those of you who don't know what a check is, you're a millennial. And so anyways, this morning we're going to turn to a different passage. We're going to be out of Genesis. We will be back in Genesis starting next week. But this morning we're going to look at a different passage. But let me suffice it to say, by way of introduction, that 2016, by popular opinion, was a bad year. Is there an amen in the crowd? Amen, oh my, oh me. Just, it's interesting. I don't know if it's because I can relate more than normal, but I have heard more grumbling and complaining this year about 2016 than I ever have about a year in my life. And so 2016 for many is going to go down as a uniquely difficult year marked by struggle. Not to be all gloom and doom this morning, but to bring some gloom and doom to our time together. Just looking at some news headlines from this past year, globally around the world, you had several different things, not in any kind of order, but you had Brexit, you know, which kind of shocked us all, Britain leaving the European Union. You had the ISIS attacks that just seemed to be just every morning you woke up. I mean, just ISIS attacked, and terrorism was rampant this year. Even this morning, there was another terrorist attack, I believe, in Turkey, in which 35 plus people have been pronounced dead. You had France and Brussels and Berlin. You had the Syrian refugee crisis, which still continues today. So if you look around the world globally, bad news is the news. It's every day there is just terror and tragedy striking. You look at the U.S. and just the attacks we had even on our own soil. Look at Orlando and the devastation that happened there so many months ago, the scare of the Zika virus. All of the tragedy of the law and disorder, if you will, between police attacks and public riots and disorder. You had the wildfires just recently in Tennessee that devastated so many thousands of homes. At best, we can say we had a sordid political year, can we not? We had a very difficult political season. The primaries were bad enough, right? I mean, they've been enough to say this is a horrible year. And then we had the real election, and it didn't get any better. And so regardless of who won. It was a very difficult political year in 2016. Even at the state level, you look at some of the greatest tragedy that Louisiana has experienced, the flooding of Baton Rouge, and over, if I can remember right, I think it's over 100,000 homes in South Louisiana have been flooded and devastated. And even in Monroe, had over 1,500 homes flooded on March the 9th of this past year. They've devastated many, just 1,500 plus families in our area. So that's just a glimpse. And we could get more gloom and doom, right? You could do some more Googling and find headlines, and we'll see them today and this week as people recap 2016. There was a highlight, right? The Cubs won. Go Cubs, go. I think James in the back didn't get to hear our Cubs thing. But there was a little silver lining to the dark cloud. But even personally, there have been great struggles. You know, as a pastor, you know, unfortunately, I have a front row seat to many people's hurts and heartaches and struggles throughout the year. But many of us have experienced great struggle, great difficulty this year with loss of loved ones, maybe with job instability, with career changes, with health problems, marital struggles, financial difficulties, spiritual complacency, stress, anxiety, uncertainty. Have I made you feel bad enough yet? I mean, you're ready to like just check out? Or I say, hey, that's 2016. We are done. For me personally, as I've said on a couple occasions, and many of you have heard many of my woes, but for me personally, 2016 has been, just be quite honest, the most difficult year of my life. And so not to say it's the most difficult ever yet to be, but so far it's on the top of the list of years I would like just to forget about. So with all of that, can't we just put 2016 in the past? Can't we just say, hey, it is now 2017, the past is in the past, let's move forward. Can we say that? Amen? No, we're not. We can't say that. We don't want to say that. If we do, we will miss what the Lord has for us. So if you will, turn me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and why we can't just say goodbye to 2016. Just a little brief context to Ecclesiastes. One struggle in preaching from isolated texts like this is you do miss the backdrop of the book as we go through Genesis. We know all the stuff that's happening whenever we come to a text. We know what's going on. We know the background. We know the context and all the details. And so Ecclesiastes, we don't have all that this morning. We haven't been walking through Ecclesiastes. Maybe one year we'll go through Ecclesiastes. It's I would call it a very interesting book. It is very unique in Scripture, the subjects that it handles and how it reads, and it's just very, very different. Wonderful book. But just some brief context, it is written probably by Solomon. We're not 100% sure who wrote it. He's often referred to as the preacher, but it is one who has lived life and has experienced life, and so it's probably written by King Solomon at some point in his latter days. It is a book of a lot of wisdom. It reads somewhat similar to Proverbs, but not exactly. It is a book that deals with wisdom and with folly and kind of a contrast of the two. As you look at Solomon, as you look at Ecclesiastes, it's really about the three W's. It's about wealth, wisdom, and women. And this is kind of what's characterized by Ecclesiastes. It's about how ultimately, as we as believers, as children of God, is how we can live a God-fearing life and be faithful to the Lord. And it's a book that really takes us to practical living more than most books of Scripture, and how we can live out this life and live even with, and a lot of times we talk about the poverty gospel, in which we feel that we can't have anything in order to please God. But Ecclesiastes points to, no, you can have stuff. It is good to have stuff, but do not lose your fear of the Lord and honor the Lord in all that you have and all that you do. So especially as you turn to chapter 7, a whole bunch of contrast, your heading there probably says a contrast of wisdom and folly, and so we won't go through all of chapter 7, but he just compares all these things, what is wise and what is foolish. And so with that in mind, we come to verse 8 this morning of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, very simple verse, but yet very profound. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Let's pray real quick. Father, as we come to this text this morning, as we come to this nugget of truth, Father, would you take it? Would you massage it into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives? Would you help us to see that the end is better than the beginning? Not because we believe so or believe not so, but because your word says it. So help us to understand it. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, whether or not you agree with my assessment of 2016, because there are some of you who say, hey, 2016 was a great year. Everything went well. There was no difficulty. It was wonderful. So whether you agree with me, whether it was a great year for you, whether you experienced struggle or not, it is a true fact that the end is better than the beginning. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. So what does that mean? I don't know about you, I am ready and willing to move off of 2016 on to 2017. Probably you've heard me say multiple times that there is no one more excited about last night and ringing in midnight and saying goodbye to the previous year and on to the new year. But what the Lord has caused me to think on is that we can't just wish it goodbye yet. We need to think on it, need to process it. Why is the end of a thing better than its beginning? Two reasons this morning, and I'll try to be brief as I promised you. But two reasons why the end is better than the beginning, first of which, if you're taking any kind of notes, is that we can see the hand of God in suffering. The reason why the end of a thing, the thing this morning that we're going to talk about primarily, if not solely, is the year. Why is the end of a year? You know, right now we're at the edge, right? I want to kind of step on the edge. Maybe I won't fall off. There are pastors who do this, and they start talking and preaching. They get to the edge, they just fall right off. There's a pastor in our area who's done that before. Stories go around. But anyway, so we won't fall off this morning. We're standing at the edge, right? We're January the 1st. I mean, we're just last night, less than 24 hours ago, less than 12 hours ago, we were in 2016. Now we're 2017. So we're on this edge of a thing, this thing of the year. So why is the end of 16? Why can we say the end of 2016 is better than the beginning? Why should we spend time thinking about this most difficult year characterized by much suffering instead of moving forward to what is new and potentially better? The first reason is we can see God's hand in suffering. And this is a subject we recently dealt with quite a bit. As we're going through Genesis, we looked at the story of Sarah and her servant Hagar, and looked at Hagar's suffering at the hand of Sarah and all that entailed. And so we walked through suffering a good bit, and we'll walk through some of it again this morning. But let us remember, as we looked at a few weeks ago with Sarah and with Hagar and suffering, that the essential fact, this essential point, that God allows all suffering in our life. I know we've gone through this, but we need to go through it on a regular basis because it's easy to forget that God allows all suffering in our life, in our parish, in our state, in our nation, in the world around us. Not a single headline from 2016, not a single thing surprised the Lord. Every single moment of 2016, be it good, bad, horrible, unthinkable, was allowed by our God. If you don't believe that, you need to. Because it's the truth. It's an indisputable truth. We sang about the majestic king a while ago. Majestic God. We call this big God theology. Simply put, you've heard me mention big God theology before. It's just a very simple notion that God is king of the universe. God is sovereign king. Now, we don't understand sovereignty much anymore. We don't understand kingship very much anymore. We live in a very different political world, very different governing system. But our God, he's not the president of the universe. He's not a representative of the universe. He's not a name-only king of the universe. He is a sovereign king, and nothing happens apart from his will. And that should be of great encouragement to us because of who God is. This big God theology is that God is king of the universe. He is magnificent beyond compare. Control of every single moment and molecule in all of creation, God is sovereign over and God is control over. And so, as we look back to this year, we can see God's hand in suffering because suffering does not exist outside of God's control. Suffering does not exist outside of God's man. There is not a reality in which anyone has ever suffered without God being in complete control. And that should bring us the greatest comfort. Because not only is God aware of our suffering, not only has God allowed our suffering, but God is present in the middle of our suffering. So you look at this past year and all these horrible things that have happened, all these atrocities throughout the world, throughout our nation, throughout our own personal lives, the most horrible moments in our lives, the moments of greatest struggle in our lives of 2016 or before or ahead of us, or this year, maybe this year, maybe we think 2016 is bad, maybe 17 breaks the records, right? Maybe we're going to look back and say, man, I wish I had 2016 back. Some of us can't hope that's not true. But in the middle of that, God is not just aware of it, not only is He allowed, but He is present in the middle of it. The end of a thing is better because we can see God's hand in our suffering. The flood that happened this past year, March the 9th, we're almost to 1 year marking that. It devastated over 1,500 homes in Ouachita Parish. Thousands and thousands of people were displaced from their home for months and months. And some are still displaced from their homes and have not made it back to their houses. They thought all was lost. Their world was devastated. Most of their physical belongings ruined. Houses destroyed. Have to move out to apartments or in-laws or didn't know where they would go. Maybe some to shelters. But through that devastation, something new and better came to almost, if not all, of those homeowners. And that is what I called, as many of you know, I've become a contractor this year and has been involved in about 20 plus of these homes and remodeling them. And I've told many folks it is called forced remodeling. You know, their place was devastated, but now these contractors and builders and skilled folks have come in and have totally transformed their old homes into something newer. And so now they have new flooring and new cabinets and new countertops and new doors, new paint, new everything. Some of them have new appliances, new cars. You know, we've got all kind of new stuff. From what was this devastating moment became something that the end of it was much better. And as children of God, we share a similar end. Because suffering is not the end, but suffering is something that brings us to something much greater. If you will, turn me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5, it shows us the end of suffering. It shows us what suffering leads us to. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 3, it says, not only that, you can go about the first couple of verses to see what he's referring to, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So the suffering of our lives, as we see God's hand, it produces hope within us. As we look on 2016, a lost and dying world looks on it and sees all the headlines and all the devastation, and we look at their own personal lives and look at their little, you know, some people just don't even want to look at their Facebook profile, right, for the video that it makes. I don't know how it works, but some of you know it makes you a video of all your moments of the year, and I don't want to see that. It's because we're full of hopelessness. But because of Christ, we can look at this past year with hope. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of events, regardless of our opinion of the year, we can look back on the year with great hope because that's what suffering brings, is hope, because we know that God is in control and God has not left us and He's not forsaken us and He is present in the midst of our suffering. And so my encouragement to us this morning is do not look back on 2016 with contempt, with anger, or with hopelessness. But instead, let us look back on 2016 as the year God kept you, loved you, and gave you hope. And that is why we're here today, because God kept us. And He continues to love us. And He continues to give us hope. The end is better than the beginning because we can see God's hand in the midst of our suffering. Secondly, one reason we don't need to give up on this year yet and completely write it off, not only do we see God's hand in suffering this past year, but we see God's hand in blessing. We see God's hand in blessing. We've established, I believe, without doubt, that 2016 was a tough year for many. Maybe you came in this morning thinking 2016 is a great year, and you said, oh no, it was a horrible year. I leave depressed. Well, let's not. Because not only do we see God's hand in suffering, we see God's hand in blessing. Just as God is present in our sufferings, God is the provider of all the blessings in our life. Now, the blessings is not equal stuff, something far more than that. A few verses for you this morning. You don't have to turn to these. You can mark them down if you like. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. A verse we've gone to recently, a theme we've gone to recently is that God meets and provides all of our needs. If He doesn't provide it, we don't need it. It's very simple as that. 2 Peter 1:3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence is that Christ is the source of all of our blessings. Matthew 6:31-33 says this, "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear for clothing?" Isn't that our primary concerns in life? What are we going to eat, drink, and what are we going to wear? Need some new clothes? Need some better food? "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, all these things, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things are going to work out. All these things are going to be added unto you." So as we sang a while ago about being a generation that seeks the Lord, let's not be a generation that's consumed with materialism. Let's not be a generation that's consumed with stuff. Let's not be a spiritual generation that's consumed with stuff that doesn't matter. But let's be a generation that's consumed with seeking and living for the Lord. I look back on this past year in the midst of a difficult year. And as I've been able to reflect this weekend on just as we bring in the new year, my reflection has brought me to, it's not been the worst year of my life. It's not been, there's been great difficulty, but it's also been the source of great blessings this year. As I look and thank the Lord for a family that is healthy, slightly crazy, but healthy, whom I love dearly. Look at the Lord who's provided all that we need, all that we have, and we've lacked nothing. A God who's been with us every moment. A God who's provided us an amazing spiritual family in which not everyone can say they have. But more than anything, more than even a church family, more than health, more than protection and provision, is that we have Christ. As I look back on this past year, regardless of what my circumstances were, Christ never left me. So we see God's hand in suffering. We also see His blessing in suffering. And the greatest blessing is not protection, it's not provision, but it is Christ Himself. Christ sustained me, and He sustains you through any sufferings, and is a source of all of our blessings. It's easy, is it not, for the tough parts of our life to overshadow the good parts of our life. It's easy to look at the difficulties of 2016 and forget about God's hand in blessings. And remember all that the Lord has done for us, for He has done great things. Go back to Ecclesiastes here. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So how do we endure? How do we walk through faithfully this next year? We do so not by being proud in spirit, by being patient in spirit, by waiting on the Lord, by trusting in the Lord, by setting our hope on the Lord and not in our circumstances. Let us not enter into 2017 with a proud spirit, thinking we can take on this year, thinking, hey, I survived 2016, I'm here, I'm still standing, so I'm ready for whatever 2017 brings my way. That, you know, I can work harder this year, or I can do more this year, or I'm ready for whatever. But let's not enter with a proud spirit, but with a humble spirit, with a patient spirit that waits on the Lord and trusts the Lord and hopes in the Lord, follows the Lord and fears the Lord. That is how we will faithfully walk through 2017. Let us remember as God's people that whatever 2017 brings, that we belong to Christ and He has overcome the world. And finally, as we think about this thought that better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And that is true, and hopefully that'll cause us to think today as we kind of wrap up this past year, as we so to speak, close the books on 16 and get ready for 17. But better is the end of a thing than its beginning. Let me turn us to Malachi. We spent a good bit of time in Malachi this, I don't even know, was this past year or 2015? When were we in Malachi, Ryan? Do you know? 15, I think. If I can remember where I was going with that. There we go. Malachi 3:17. And they, his people, shall be his, says the Lord of hosts. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. And what we have here, just real briefly, it's a picture that in the end of things, in the end of time, that God is going to make us his treasured possession. As the way we often see this verse interpreted, that God in the end will make us his treasured jewels. And so despite what we go through in this life, despite the struggle that we encounter, despite the difficulty we live through, that in the end, because of Christ, he makes us into his treasured possession. Not because of how good we are, not because of how well we make it through this life, not because of anything, not because of our financial success or how healthy we make it out to be or anything else other than Christ. God is making us into his treasured jewel. And so the end of this life, regardless of what happens, is better because of Christ. And because the Lord is constantly shaping us and forming us more into the image of his Son. So that we can be his treasured possession. So let us look at suffering not as a horrible thing, not as a thing we don't want, not a thing that we don't invite into our life, but know that God is present in the middle of our suffering. Let us see his hand in suffering, and let us see his hand in blessing in this next year. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for turning us to Ecclesiastes and this simple truth, Father, that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. And Lord, it's easy to be hopeless with a difficult year. And the news around our world and our country and our state and our community, Father, in our very own lives. Some in here, Lord, have experienced great tragedy this year and great heartache this year. This morning, would you remind us to turn to you? Would you remind us, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, and you've never left us, and you never will? As we stand on the edge of 2017, let us be ready to embrace this year with the hope that comes from Christ. As we sing this last psalm this morning, Father, would you just fill our hearts and minds with your great love? Lord, as we have a chance to give, would we be fueled not by how much we give or the fact that we give, but we can give in honor of you. And not just of our money, but our lives this week and this year. May we commit ourselves to be a generation that seeks you and follows you. Help us to respond to your word by your power this morning in Christ's name.